20 minutes to 11 on 612 ABC Brisbane. That's Mark Seymour. Sort of almost like an unplugged version from his album Daytime and the Dark. Originally, it was done by Hunters and Collectors on their first album. Deb, can you recall? Was it their first album, Debbie Kruger?
I can't. No, it wasn't on their first album.
It wasn't their first
album. I can't tell you exactly which album. I can tell you about what Mark told me about the song, but I can't tell you what album it was on.
What did Mark tell you about the song? And then I'll introduce you. Tell me, give me some knowledge, and then I'll introduce you.
Hello,
while
Brisbane.
You're here.
Mark Seymour is such an interesting and sensitive songwriter, and he wrote that song specifically about a relationship that he was in and about the experience of crossing Melbourne to see her, because they lived at different sides of the city in Melbourne, and that experience of going to her and what he wanted to do when he got to her. And I remember speaking to him about, and it's in the book, about that whole notion of writing a song in the future tense. You know, I will do this, I will do that. We will shed our skin. I will throw my arms around you. It's quite an unusual way to write a song. And what it does is it constantly propels the song into the future, so you feel the story will always unfold for you. It's never actually happened.
My guest is Debbie Kruger. Now, Debbie has a past from here in Brisbane, but she's been away for some time. And let me sort of set it up a bit as to why Deb's here talking about songwriters. It's one of those strange unifying things. You're standing in a pub in the dark with a bunch of strangers, a drink in your hand, singing along to a song that belongs to you and everyone else in the room. Who writes the music you love, and how do they connect with so many people at the same time? Now, Deb plays a mean tambourine, I'm told. She spent 4 years interviewing Australian songwriters to find out how they write and how they feel about the music that forms the soundtrack of our lives. And that one, Deb, by Mark Seymour, has become a bit of an anthem, really, hasn't it, for many Australians?
It certainly has.
It's been used in a whole lot of forums. I know it was sung, I think it was sung at the America's Cup by the Aussies at one point. I think it was sung at the cricket. You know, you hear it, different songs by Hunters and Collectors used in different versions, but that one, there's almost not a person around, at least of my generation, that doesn't know the words off by heart.
Mm. It is one of those songs that's taken on a life of its own, and it's one song that Mark Seymour is very proud of. So he has re-recorded it several times as well.
K-San is a nightmare as far as I'm concerned, because like all my mates like, Chisel, play Chisel, you know, the jolly ABC, never plays any cold Chisel. We do occasionally, but K-San, you get kicked out of Australian pubs if you don't know the words to K-San. Did you happen to talk with the cold Chisel gang about K-San?
I talked with cold Chisel's chief songwriter and the legendary Don Walker, who doesn't talk much. So for me to have 4 hours talking to Don about his life in songwriting was a remarkable experience.
Now, Don plays piano for cold Chisel.
Yeah, and he is the chief songwriter. He wrote K-San.
That's right. And then he went out by himself and did Catfish, I think, was his band.
He had a project called Catfish, and he's also done some work with Tex Perkins and Charlie Owen with the Tex Don and Charlie project.
That's right.
And his own solo stuff just under the moniker Don Walker. None of the stuff he's done outside Chisel has had anything like the commercial success that his cold Chisel songs have. He did tell me, however, that the songs he's written post Chisel are far more satisfying. He's also very well known as a songwriter for country artists, and he wrote Looking Forward, Looking Back for Slim Dusty.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah, okay. Which Slim said was one of his favourite songs written by another songwriter, and has also written with Troy Cassidaly and Graham Connors. So, and, of course, Don Walker, a Queensland guy, born in Eyre, North Queensland, grew up in Grafton.
Really?
Moved down to Adelaide to do university, and there he met the guys from Cold Chisel. Wrote K-San in the very early days of the BAM, sitting in a cafe in King's Cross. And, of course, we know it's about Vietnam vets. And he does say in the book that it was inspired by about 3 different Vietnam vets. What's really interesting about the song is that it was in his nascent songwriting days, and it was written quite unselfconsciously. The song has no chorus. And he says if you tried to write a song like that today, no record company would accept it. They go, where's the chorus? Where's the rising bit to the chorus, mate? You know, there's a hook line, but the hook line has nothing to do with the song, The Last Plane Out of Sydney.
Yeah.
So we actually talk not only about the inspiration for the song, but the structure, how unconventional it is, and how in those days you could get away with very unconventionally structured songs.
But not anymore.
It's harder if you want to get played on the radio. If somebody wrote a song like K-San today, or Man Overboard, you said it's Deborah Conway's birthday today.
Right. She was with Do Re Mi originally.
That has no chorus either.
It doesn't.
But it has a catch line.
I've never forgotten. The first time I heard it on radio, it was indelibly marked in my memory.
That's right. So, no, if you were a songwriter trying to get played on radio today with the strict formats, if you didn't have the chorus and the bridge, etc., you'd have a lot of trouble getting played. But the joy of speaking to these songwriters about their careers over a period of time is that in their most unself-conscious writing times, when they weren't writing to structure, they wrote these hits that we are singing 30 years on.
Did Don Watson tell you how satisfying he found K-San?
Don Walker,
Don Walker, I'm sorry.
He's still very fond of the song. He says that he's quite chuffed by the fact that other Australian bands, whenever they tour overseas, people always go, "Oh, play K-San." And it tickles him that it pisses other Australians off. Can I say that?
No, it's a family show, but never mind. So it sort of gives him a perverse delight now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Give me the list of some of the songwriters you interviewed for your book, Songwriter Speak. Well, because it's quite a tome. It's quite a weighty.
It is. There are 45 songwriters in this book. Some of them were interviewed as couples. For instance, Rob Hurst and Jim McGinney from Midnight Oil, and also...
A brilliant songwriting duo in my mind.
Very brilliant. Really, just spent a weekend hanging out with Rob Hurst down at the Byron Bay Writers Festival, actually.
I'll stop you bragging.
Yeah. look, I covered the spectrum across a 50-year period from our pioneering female songwriter, Joy McKean, the great national treasure, widow of Slim Dusty, right through to Casey Chambers. Everyone in between, from Rolf Harris to Nick Cave, from Mark Seymour to Daniel Johns from Silverchair, guys from Mental as Anything, Martin Plaza and Greedy Smith, Todd Hunter and Joanna Piggott. Todd was in Dragon. His wife Joanna isn't as well known in her own right, but together they wrote a number of Dragon songs and their greatest hit, Age of Reason, which John Farnham sang.
Did they really? Now, they also wrote for the ABC TV series Sweet and Sour, I think.
Well, Joanna.
Joanna did, okay.
Wrote Sweet and Sour. And so did Sharon O'Neill. She wrote songs. She, in fact, wrote the title track, Sweet and Sour. Sharon's in my book. It was sung by Deborah Conway, who's also in my book. There's some wonderful crossovers. Johnny Young, of course, wrote The Real Thing. It's the song that Russell Morris is most famous for. He didn't write it. They're both in my book. So there's some wonderful crossovers. There's also some great songwriters who write for other artists and who live overseas. Terry Britton, who wrote Devil Woman for Cliff Richard and What's Love Got to Do with It for Tina Turner, started here in Australia in the Twilights,
really?
Way back in the 60s. Very famous, successful songwriter. Also writes for Lenny Kravitz and Michael Jackson. Stevie Kipner, who I think he grew up in Brisbane, didn't he?
I don't know.
His dad, Nat Kipner. His dad, Nat Kipner, produced the first Bee Gees record. And
well, that was produced here in Queensland,
that's
the first
right.
one.
Stevie
Redcliffe.
Stevie wrote Physical for Olivia Newton-John, and then he went on and wrote for Chicago, and more recently Christina Aguilera, Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child. He's a real pop songwriter in LA. John Farrar, the great John Farrar, who wrote Olivia Newton-John's big hits and those great hits from Greece, You're the One That I Want, Hopelessly Devoted to You. So a lot of these behind-the-scenes guys, I also talked to them.
Did you come away with an impression or a feeling of there is something that you can almost encapsulate what it was to be an Australian songwriter as opposed to songwriter from somewhere else, like the essence of Australianness in song?
Look, there is definitely a common thread between these people. I also want to mention I got Daniel Jones and Darren Hayes from Savage Garden.
Well, together?
But just to get Daniel, I came up here and I went out to his beautiful waterfront home and spent a few hours with him and then went to England and got Darren, probably the greatest songwriters ever to come from
Brisbane.
Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. About the Australianness, look, speaking of Savage Garden, they never set out to have an Australian sound. They wanted an international sound. They modelled themselves on the INXS sound. They were very inspired by INXS.
Right.
But then, of course, if you're talking to someone like John Williamson, there's nothing more Australian than a John Williamson song. I don't believe that we have an overall Australian sound in our songwriting that's overt, but I think that there is a common thread between these songwriters and many other links in the chain that aren't in this book that makes them distinctly Australian, and I think it's partly to do with being in a country that is so far away from the rest of the world and wanting to send a message out beyond our shores.
Let me play The Seekers, Red Rubber Ball. You can tell me a little bit about this in just a sec. This is The Seekers and Red Rubber Ball. My guest is Debbie Kruger, who's written Songwriters Speak. Red Rubber Ball, The Seekers. Debbie Kruger, author, is my guest. Deb started in this town as a publicist, I think, few years back. promoting something that's on at the moment, the International Film Festival. Then yes. you went to APRA, which is sort of the body that looks after what rock groups get or what bands get royalties from where.
Songwriters.
And now you've pulled it all together in terms of your experience of talking with these songwriters in a book. You've interviewed them. What did the Seekers tell you?
Well, I spoke to Bruce Woodley because he was the main songwriter. And Bruce Woodley, his best known song is actually I Am Australian, one of the greatest pop song anthems. He wrote I Am Australian. But way, way back in the 60s with the Seekers, when he started dabbling in songwriting, because initially they recorded Tom Springfield songs like Georgie Girl and, you know, that kind of thing. But he met Paul Simon. He was hanging around with all those folk people in London and New York, and he met Paul Simon. And Bruce Woodley, this is a little known fact, is one of the very few songwriters in the entire world to have co-written with Paul Simon, who doesn't co-write. And they wrote a few songs, one of which was Red Rubber Ball. It was a big number one hit in America for a group called The Circle, C-Y-R-K-L-E. But the Seekers also recorded a version of it. And it's really interesting because it's got that melancholy minor chord shift in there.
Yep.
And that's very Paul Simon, that sort of melancholy bent to any song. It's actually it's almost a sad song, Red Rubber Ball.
Almost.
Well, if you listen to the lyrics, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I think I'm going to be all right.
And the worst is over now. And no one else has written with Paul Simon.
Very few people.
Okay. Deb Kruger is my guest. You can actually look up some details of her book on the web if you want, songwriterspeak.com, or else the book is available now. I'll tell you more. What else came out? It's always struck me that the Australian sound was a really sort of a sparse sound. It had quite a big yet sparse sound where it wasn't too complicated. But that, in my mind, that was sort of the epitome of Australian sound. In my mind. But what else did you uncover about sort of songwriting for Australian songwriters?
Well, there are some things that are in common with songwriters anywhere in the world, and that's the idea of where a song comes from and where those songwriters believe that they are just a channel for a song, that there's a greater power, that there's some spiritual realm or whatever that power is outside that creates these magical things, these magical songs, and just delivers them through the channel, which is the songwriter who just has the tools at his or her disposal and spews out this fabulous piece of magic. And then there are songwriters who believe, no, it's just, it comes from within me, it comes from my heart and my mind, and I don't believe in all this spiritual gobbledygook. And I loved asking that to all the songwriters because they all had very different responses.
Can you name some names?
Graham Goble from Little River Band, who wrote Reminiscing.
Yep.
Long Way There, Lady.
Bass player for Little River Band.
The guitarist and the high harmony singer. The bass player was Bea Birtles, also wrote. But Graham is probably the most prolific writer from Little River Band. And Reminiscing is his probably most successful song.
I hated it, but it was commercially successful.
Oh, and huge in America. It's had over 4.5 million airplays in America alone.
Crikey.
Oh, yeah. Graham firmly believes in a spiritual realm, that there are actually songwriting angels that either bring entire songs to him or bring solutions to a song that he's having a problem with. Graham Connors, a Queensland songwriter from Mackay, a wonderful songwriter, a songwriter's songwriter, the one that other songwriters want to go up and write with because he's that masterful. He said, that's all rubbish. I believe that, you know, a song is in my heart and mind. And
you put it down, you work hard on it.
Which doesn't mean that he's a soulless craftsman. It absolutely comes from his emotional self, but he doesn't necessarily believe the song exists outside of himself, and it doesn't matter which instrument he uses. Kacey Chambers believes the songs are actually in the atmosphere around her, and if she's in the mood to write a song, it doesn't matter how much she wants to. If there's no song in the room that day, it won't happen.
It won't happen. I've got to go shortly, and I want to try and squeeze in one more song by Paul Kelly, who's probably one of the better songwriters in Australia. Did you come up with a top five? Did you walk away? Who do you think is the best?
Top five songs?
For you, Debbie Kruger's
pick. These are my personal favourites, and based on my conversations with them and how well I got to know them. Tim Finn, just joy to speak to, very generous. John Farrar, he wrote You're the One That I Want, full stop. Doesn't have to do another thing in his life as far as I'm concerned. Nick Cave, a real eye-opener for me. Mm-hmm. He was just a fabulous person to talk to and really shared himself.
Was he one of the spiritual songwriters, by the way? He's got quite an unusual sort of...
He is spiritual, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he believes the songs come from elsewhere, but he's a very God-believing, person. Mm-hmm. Who else did I absolutely love? They're my top three. Graham Connors is a real favourite because he talks about songwriting in such an incredibly illustrative way, you really get a sense of how he writes his songs and those stories of tropical North Queensland. And, oh, they're all so fabulous.
Debbie Kruger, we'll have to simply read the book.
You'll just have to read the book.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve. Great to see you again.
And you. Debbie Kruger, Songwriters Speak. It's available now, or you can look up the website, songwriterspeak.com. This is Paul Kelly. Paul Kelly, To Her Door. The book by Debbie Kruger is called Songwriters Speak, Conversations About Creating Music. There's also a website, songwriterspeak.com. Look it up. It's a great book. You would have seen it, some of it serialised in newspapers over the last couple of weeks. Thanks for your company. The Conversation Hour shortly.